You're listening to the Inner Child Podcast. Can anxiously attached people successfully be in a relationship with avoidantly attached people? Yes or no? That's the million-dollar question, and I am finally going to answer this question and hopefully put this argument to rest for good. I'm going to be very honest about my slightly controversial answer to this question, plus the reason why anxiously attached people and avoidantly attached people seem to be drawn to each other like moths to a flame. Make sure to listen to the end of the episode where I'm sharing with you a free workshop where you can start attracting and building your first secure relationship, no matter what kind of attachment style you are operating from, right after this intro. Hi, I'm Gloria Zhang, and after 10 years of struggling in toxic relationships, I attracted the love of my life by healing my inner child. This podcast is your weekly dose of my expertise as a therapist and dating relationship coach for high achievers. Learn tips to overcome low self-worth, emotional baggage, and childhood trauma so that you too can step into your power and attract the love you desire. Welcome to the Inner Child Podcast. Welcome back to the Inner Child Podcast. This is Gloria here, your host and resident relationship coach. So the topic for today is something I think I've been avoiding talking about, mostly because my answer might ruffle some feathers because it's not really the generic answer. But as you all know, I'm here to be honest and I'm here to be helpful. And sometimes that means truthful. Whether you're the anxious one or the avoidantly attached one in a relationship, and you just want to know, is it actually possible for anxious and avoidance to ever work and actually succeed in a relationship? Also, I wanted to mention, I apologize for not having episodes the past couple of weeks. Folks have been asking, Gloria, where's the podcast? I actually got sick a couple of weeks ago, and I just needed a little bit of time to get back on track with myself. And one more thing, happy Pride Month. Being queer friendly is aligned with all of our values. In fact, next week we have a very special episode with one of my queer clients who was in my soulmate program, who is going to share her success story on how she broke her toxic chain of relationships and attracted her partner in just 5 months of being inside her program. So stay tuned for that one next week. Super excited to have her on. But back to the topic today of the anxious and avoidant relationships. So I'm going to cover a couple of things inside this episode. Number one, I'm going to talk about what the most common problems are in these anxious avoidant type relationships. I'm going to talk about my personal opinion on whether I think this is a good match. And I'm going to talk about situations where this can work and what you should be doing if you tend to be more of the anxious one or the avoidant one. All right, so we're going to cover all of this ground. But first, I do want to start with sharing a story. So I've had a pretty interesting life as you're getting to know me. I've worked tons of different side hustles and part-time jobs growing up and as I was in university and et cetera. And one of the jobs I had one summer was selling bubble guns. So I would actually go around to different outdoor events in the summer. So sometimes it was festivals, sometimes it was holiday gatherings. And I worked for a company where I would sell these little plastic guns that shoot at bubbles, right? You would have to fill it up with soap water and you shoot it out. And all these fun bubbles would start shooting up from the other end of it. I think each package was $10 and I would make $2 commission off of selling each of these bubble guns. So on one particular day, I was at a park selling these bubble guns once again, except it was a really, really slow day. I think I'd only sold 2 or 3 guns at that time, which was like $6, right? Back then, I didn't have much money at all. I was really freaking out. So I thought, you know what? I have to hustle. I need to go around this park and work harder at getting people to see the value in these guns and buy these guns. And I spent the first 2 hours making rounds around the adults. I would go up to this group of adults and say, hey guys, are you looking for a bit of fun? Look at what we're selling. Look at what we can do. And I really did not get a good response at all, right? The adults were like, what is this? Like, this is weird. Go away. Like, you're disturbing us. My presence was clearly very unwelcome. And I felt really discouraged. I thought, am I doing something wrong? Is it the way I'm talking? Wasn't very fun for me at all. And then I walked over to the playground. I saw a bunch of kids there. And at that point, I wasn't even trying that hard anymore. I was feeling very defeated, feeling a bit hopeless, thinking maybe I should just pack up and call it a day, go home. And I go up to a mom and her son who's at the play structure. And I didn't even start talking to them, right? I just started, you know, shooting the gun and making faces at the kid, making him laugh. And the kid pointed at my bubble gun and said to mom, "Mommy, I want that." And the mom was actually relieved, right? What I didn't mention was that this was a very, very hot day. And the kids were kind of crying. They were complaining about the heat. And what the mother saw was that I was now providing a solution to this family and to the kid, right? And so we sold the gun. We did an exchange of the money for the bubble gun. And the kid was happy. And the mother mouthed, she said, "Thank you" to me, right? Because I had basically saved them more headache on this trip by introducing something that was fun and useful. So you're probably thinking, Gloria, that's nice, but what does this have anything to do with my question about anxious and secure relationships? Well, let me tell you, when I decided to focus all of my time the rest of that day on just people with kids, we actually sold out all of our bubble guns and I made a commission of $250. In fact, that was the most I'd ever made at this gig. So what is the lesson here? The lesson here is that there is always someone that's already a match for you and in what you offer, just as you are. I really could have worked harder at trying to convince these adults to buy my bubble gun, right? And maybe I would have gotten a couple of other sales out of it. But the question is, would that have been worth it for me? If the right demographic was literally on the other side of the park, already there waiting for me. When I went up to that little boy and the mom, I didn't have to sell or convince anyone and say, "Please buy this bubble gun," right? I didn't have to do any of that because there was already a match. From an entrepreneurial perspective, this is one of the reasons why some people go out of business simply because there's not a right fit between their audience and the thing that they're selling, right? There isn't a match. The mother had certain needs. And when I came at that time and place, it just so happened that what I was offering was exactly what she needed. Doing sales is already hard and difficult on its own, but having that added pressure of then trying to beg and convince someone to see the value, right? Here's the thing. What I was offering was just a piece of plastic. It was a plastic bubble gun. And it's not about the value of what I'm offering. It's about the other person and whether this thing actually has value based on what they need. Now I'm going to bring this back to the relationship topics, right? How many times have you wasted days, months, years trying to beg and convince someone to see your value in a relationship? What would you give to take all that time back? Selling bubble guns and getting into a relationship might seem like two different things, but the principle is exactly the same. We all come with a set of needs and desires and fears. And that's what we bring to relationships, whether we like it or not. And I have programs around this, right? Teaching people how to get into relationships. But the way that I see relationships is truly about compatibility. So now I'm going to answer the million-dollar question. Can anxious and avoidant folks be together? So I'm going to preface my answer with two observations. Number one, people only ask me this question when the relationship is falling apart. I have never had a happy couple ask me, do anxious and avoidant folks, can they be together, right? Can this work? And the second observation is that more than 80% of the time, it's the anxiously attached person who asks this question. And this is really due to the dynamic of how these relationships usually play out. So you want to ask yourself, first of all, why are you asking this question? And I'm willing to bet that if you are already at the stage of having to Google and ask this question, it's because you're looking for an external sign or indication of hope, because maybe you're kind of ignoring your gut feeling, right? You wouldn't be asking this question if you weren't questioning yourself. And so my answer to this is that the majority of the time, I don't recommend the anxious and avoidant pairing. Most of the time, simply due to the fact that fundamentally, anxious and avoidantly attached people have different needs in their relationships, right? They just have different needs. And the reason why these relationships can be so difficult is because they have contradicting needs. We're going to talk a little bit more about what I mean by contradictory needs and how this looks in relationships. Now, again, please disclaimer, if you're already in this type of relationship, there might be different factors to consider. Maybe you've been together for a long time. So please don't take this as personalized advice in your situation. But if I'm speaking to someone who is currently single and you are anxiously attached or you are avoidantly attached, you will have much, much better success finding someone who is securely attached. Because we know from research that when we date and when we are with a securely attached person, through the mechanism of co-regulation, you will actually also become more secure. So I've talked about this before, but everybody has a built-in mechanism called co-regulation, right? It's something that's kind of built into our nervous systems. And that's kind of why when you're around very calm, sweet people, you just feel more calm and sweet. And when you are around people that trigger you, when you are around people that feel unsafe, then your nervous system kind of goes off, right? And that's because our nervous systems almost kind of talk to each other. And therefore, when you allow yourself to be in a healthy relationship with a secure person, just by being around that person, your own nervous system will start to regulate itself and become more secure. Pretty cool, right? The reason I love leveraging this is so that we don't have to do all the work, right? Where at some point, we can allow our natural co-regulation to kind of take over and do the rest of the healing for us. And I will say that if you ever join any of my programs, my whole philosophy is based around this, right? That we try to get people into relationships with compatible, secure person. I truly, truly believe, and I say this to my clients all the time, to take the path of least resistance. Because a romantic relationship isn't supposed to be a challenge in the sense that you're going to try to go after the person that's the least compatible with you. And you're going to try to challenge yourself to mold yourself into a version that that person can accept. That is not the foundation of what creates a lasting, healthy relationship. And trust me, even when you're in a secure relationship, relationships themselves are hard enough as they are. You're going to deal with so many things together for the rest of your lives. You're going to deal with illnesses, right? One person might get sick. You're going to deal with the death of parents, of family members. You're going to deal with someone losing their job. You're going to deal with moving homes, right? Buying property. You're going to deal with potentially having kids, deciding which school to send them to. All of these life challenges that you and your partner will be facing together, that is hard enough in itself. And you really don't want to add on the extra difficulty of, well, let me see if I can try to become compatible with this person that is clearly not compatible with me, right? That is not the way I coach people with relationships at all. And it's really understanding, why do you want to be in a relationship in the first place? To prove to yourself that you can win someone over? To prove to yourself that you can force yourself into a situation that's uncomfortable? Why would you want that to be the foundation of a relationship when the rest of life is already stressful? And perhaps you just need someone who's going to be a compatible partner, who is already compatible with you to take on these life challenges. That's sort of my philosophy on choosing partners. So now I'm going to talk more about the different needs of anxious and avoidance and why these two may not be a really good match. But I'm also going to talk about some caveats of situations where they do work. So I don't want to come in being a pessimist, right? Saying these types of people can never be together. I have seen in some of my clients these pairings where they do work, but they only work if both people are willing to have open conversations about their own patterns, and if both people are actively working on resolving their patterns, both people. And again, this doesn't guarantee that it's going to work out. It just has a higher likelihood of it being more successful. Now, if you fall along the lines of an anxiously attached person, what you actually need in a relationship in order to become more secure over time is to have more of that constant contact and consistency and reassurance. This means that you actually need somebody who can text you back right away, perhaps, who isn't going to freak out when you're asking for reassurance, and who is open and willing to say, I love you, to tell you that they want to be with you, who is okay with doing these things. Now, on the flip side, if you tend to be more of the avoidant person, now, let me first say this, first of all, avoidant people still want to be in relationships, right? I think that's very commonly misunderstood. Of course, they want connection, but they have learned, unfortunately, that sometimes being in a connection isn't safe because they get their freedoms taken away. They feel like they're being controlled, and perhaps it has happened in the past. So people who are more avoidant, they actually do need more patience. They need more space. Sometimes they need more time. Sometimes I use cat and dog analogies to describe these two attachment styles, right? I'm not saying people with avoidant attachment are like cats, but it's the closest thing I can come up with. So if you think about a cat that is very slow to warm up, they need lots of patience. And if you go up to a cat right away and you start touching it all over, that cat is not going to trust you because it's not going to feel safe in your presence. So the common denominator to this entire conversation is really about definition of safety. And this is where the two attachment styles have opposite needs. For an anxious person, safety means closeness, right? And I need it now and sooner than somebody else, right? And that's actually what they need for a sense of safety. For people who are more avoidant, safety means patience and space and time, allowing that person to slowly warm up and get to know you and slowly start becoming more comfortable and trusting that you're not going to do those things that their past people have done in the past. So now you're probably wondering, okay, well, if that person needs space, then of course I'll give them space, right? And here's the tricky part. If you are someone who is extremely, extremely anxiously attached, maybe just starting your own healing journey, if you're trying to be a great partner for an avoidant person, it literally means going against your own needs, right? Your needs are constant contact and consistency. But now in order for you to become the kind of person that your avoidant date is looking for, it means that you can't be yourself because now you have to give all the space, and giving all the space and all this time may not feel intuitive to you. It may feel like you are playing a role inside a movie or play, like you're acting a part. And of course, in certain situations where it's not romantic, like obviously if you're raising a pet or a child or you're interacting with a friend, it's different, right? It's different because it's not an intimate relationship where you also have needs. And again, this is my honest opinion in working with lots of couples, lots of folks, both as a therapist and as a relationship coach. What usually happens in order for these types of relationships to succeed is that one person has to abandon themselves, right? Because you can't have both. You can't have closeness and space at the same time. And so unless both people are willing to work on creating a secure relationship, it's very difficult for this to work, right? Simply because the needs aren't met. And if the needs aren't met, you don't even have a relationship, right? There's nothing there. It just becomes a trauma bond. I have an episode number 14, if you want to learn more about trauma bonds and what those dynamics are. Now, I know that the mainstream thing to say is that, oh, of course, all relationships can work out, right? And to some extent, I do believe that. Again, you know, I am a lover of love. And of course, if both people are willing to work on things, of course, things can happen. But I'm speaking in general terms. And I'm speaking also statistically of why certain pairings just aren't as successful as others. And at the end of the day, it really is just different philosophies, right? You might have different coaches, different teachers believe different things, and that is okay too. The reason I have my philosophy is the people that I tend to work with, you know, my students and clients, have already suffered through years and years of unsuccessful relationships. So you're not starting at the same level as secure people who have a great history underneath their belts, right? It's already been so difficult for you. And I honestly cannot see a really great reason why you would want to start a brand new relationship where the difficulty level is already like at 100. And as I've said before, learning to be great at relationships, it really is a skill to be learned. It's a whole skill set of things that they don't teach you in school. And all that matters to me with my students, my clients, is that they can end up having successful relationships. Having a fulfilling life with fulfilling relationships, that is more important to me than having you prove to yourself or trying to win that badge of honor of, yes, I won over that avoidant person, or yes, I won over that anxious person. It seems like that would still be coming from a core wound, and you would really want to take a look at why you feel attracted to certain types of people who maybe cannot meet your needs. So that brings me back to my last point of why anxious and avoidance tend to attract each other almost like moths to a flame. The answer really is going back to the whole root of inner child stuff, right? This podcast, and it's that we do carry our core wounds, you know, go all the way back to episode one. Anxiously attached people have emotional baggage around being abandoned. And so they will unconsciously be drawn towards avoidant partners simply because that person reminds them and feels so familiar, and it repeats a pattern. Sometimes avoidant and anxious people, they have characteristics, the way that they talk, the way they show up in conversations, that kind of gives you an indication of what kind of style they are. Right? And that's why anxious people are attracted to avoidance, because deep down, you're trying to prove to yourself that maybe you can be good enough to win them over, right? When really it has nothing to do with how good you are at all. On the flip side, avoidant people are also unconsciously attracted to anxious people. Again, remember what I said, that deep down, avoidant people still want to have connections. And when they're with anxiously attached people, they kind of get to have it all, right? They have learned through behavior that the anxious person is still going to be there, no matter how many times they hurt them, no matter how many times they step away from the relationship, right? Because that other person has that strong attachment, they're going to be there. And so by default, these relationships kind of work out. The anxious person gets to replay their traumas of being abandoned. And the avoidant person really doesn't have to commit to the relationship at all, right? Because they've learned through experience that if they disappear for 2 weeks, that anxious person is going to be begging for them back, right? So why would they need to put in more effort into that relationship? So you can see, because they have these two opposing needs and dynamics, that this can get drawn out into months and years. And I've been in these relationships, right? There's situationships sometimes where nothing actually grows or evolves. It just becomes this repetitive pattern of the anxious person needing more and the avoidant person getting scared and stepping away. And this pattern kind of repeats. So I hope this was helpful. And I hope that this is the episode to end all episodes around this topic. Now, you might be wondering right now, oh my goodness, Gloria, I'm an anxious person or I'm an avoidant person. How can I become more secure, or what can I actually do to start meeting or dating more secure relationships? Or if I am in an anxious and avoidant relationship, how can we both become more secure in the relationship, right? How can we actually do that? Well, my loves, I have a special treat for you all, and it's that I am running some free workshops starting next month throughout July, and it's called How to Attract and Keep Your First Secure Relationship. And it pretty much says it all. It's perfect for folks who are single or are in relationships. And inside this free workshop that I'm going to be running, there's going to be multiple days available, but it's not going to last long. As you guys know, I don't run these live free workshops very often. I'm going to be teaching you three secrets inside this workshop. The number one is I'm actually going to be, for the very first time, giving you my three-step formula for how insecure people can succeed in healthy relationships. Secret number two, I'm going to teach you how you will never ever sabotage a great relationship ever again using my tips, even if you're highly anxious or you have a lot of emotional baggage. And my third secret that I'm going to share inside this workshop is how to actually meet a healthy relationship, how to actually meet secure people that you are actually attracted to as well, right? One of the questions I get all the time is, oh, Gloria, I feel like the people that are actually good for me, I'm not actually attracted to. So I'm going to help you solve this issue once and for all. So if you want to sign up for this workshop, just go to buygloriazhang.com/workshop. We're going to drop a link in the show notes below as well. So that's buygloriazhang.com/workshop. Spots are limited since this is a live event. So you want to grab your seat, pick the date that you're available. Again, they're live. It's not going to be available for long. And yeah, this is the first time really that I'm sharing some of my secrets, the stuff that I usually do behind the scenes with private clients. So you definitely want to go check that out. If you found this episode helpful, please leave us a 5-star review. It actually helps me boost the ratings and it helps me a lot. Or you can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me at @bygloriazhang. I love to hear your takeaways. I love to hear you all on Instagram as well. So my loves, thank you. I hope I answered this question. If you have more questions for me, feel free to send them my way. And I will see you in the next episode where I mention one of my clients is going to be sharing her success story on how she broke her pattern of toxic relationships and attracted her partner in just 5 months. So my loves, I will see you then. Bye for now. If you love this episode, please hit subscribe and give us a 5-star review. It really helps me a lot, so thank you. To join the community and get your daily dose of inner child tips, follow me on Instagram and social media at @bygloriazhang or visit bygloriazhang.com. If you're a high achiever or entrepreneur who wants to work with me, message me the words high achiever and I'll get in touch. Thanks, bestie. See you in the next one. Thanks for tuning in, bestie. I've got something for you. If you think this show deserves a 5-star review, we'll send you my free Inner Child Starter Kit as a thank you for your support, which contains exclusive wallpapers and resources for you to download. To get your kit, just upload a screenshot of your review on Apple or Spotify to my webpage, bygloriazhang.com/reviews. The link is also in the show notes. There you can also check out my healing sessions and programs at bygloriazhang.com. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast and I will meet you in the next episode. Mwah!